This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. He's not in a happy state, people. It looks like he's going to have to pay to play at BBO.
Man, 8 years of this bullying, guys. 8 years of it. She's been bullying me for just because I don't want to pay money to play BBO. So it looks like, and I heard people talking about this, the days of unlimited free play at BBO are over. For over 25 years, it has been free and unlimited. So now they're saying, from now on, free play is capped at 6 deals a day. I guess that means that if you want to play one of their tournaments, their day-long tournaments or whatever, and they're 8 boards long, you won't be able to do it.
But how much is it going to cost? Have they got a costing there?
Some tournaments will still cost BBO dollars to enter, and that hasn't changed. It works like any club. Your membership keeps the club running, or certain events carry their own costs. So as well as having to pay to be a member, you'll also have to pay for a tournament.
Oh, there it is, Barry. $9.99. per month, US. So $20.
It looks like things are going to change. I have to say, I'm in the habit. I go in, I play the Ackle tournament. It usually comes up about lunchtime. And then at night, there's a couple of other free tournaments you can play, about 8 boards long. And there's another daily Declarer play tournament. And on a Monday, they have the weekly free instrument tournament. I play in that. And on Sundays, they have the Sunday tournament, and I play in that. I'm wondering how I find time to do all this, don't you? But anyway, usually on the weekends, they have a 2-day thing that you can enter. I usually play in all the free ones.
How's that going to affect the bailiff?
You're talking about Patrick's Sunday tournament. Well, those people, I guess they won't be able to play because they're obviously more than 6 boards long. He may have to stop running that tournament.
Well, how long has he been doing that now, since COVID? Is that correct?
Yep, that'll be right. So it must be about 6 years.
Wow. Who does it when he's travelling overseas?
He usually has somebody arranged to stand in for him.
Okay.
But that might not be going for too much longer by the sounds. There is some good news is that I happen to be on Bridge Winners, which is a good site. If you've never been on Bridge Winners, Google Bridge Winners. It has a few interesting things in there. And there's one there called Unlimited Free Bridge at Into Bridge. He's the founder of, all one word, Into Bridge. And I went in today and had a look at Into Bridge and played a few hands. You can play with robots. You can play with people, pretty much like BBO. It's a slightly different format. So I guess if you can't play at BBO for nothing, you could always go somewhere else. I don't think that's what BBO would like to happen, but I guess it probably is what will happen. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm just checking it out. Stefan Skorchev, don't know where he is, but thank you, Stefan. What is free? There is no daily limit, no hand counts, no payment details. He's got casual tables, pairs, games, team matches and bridge bots. That's free.
I can even tell you where he's from because I've just looked at his profile. Stefan Skorchev. He's from Bulgaria.
Well, there you go. I wonder if he knows the Wombles.
Uncle Bulgaria wasn't necessarily from Bulgaria, was he?
What a cool name. He had an uncle when his name was Bulgaria. I think that's a pretty good alternative, and he's guaranteed to get a few thousand hits, I guess.
What's the chances of us getting somebody from BBO on the program to explain what it's all about?
Maybe we should have a look into that. I'll just add it to my toilet roll of lists to do, Barry.
Things to do. Oh, you're not going to talk about that other list that you found, are you?
Well, actually, I have found a little check thing, and it's called the top 10 things to take to a tournament. And I put that challenge to Barry, and I reckon that he'd be lucky to come up with 5 things.
You sprung this on me, folks, so I've only had about a couple of minutes to think about it. But obviously the first thing that you need to take, especially in New Zealand, is a system card.
Right.
Got to take your system card.
Yeah.
I wonder whether I could say page 1 of my system card and then page 2 of my system card and page... Would that get me up to 4?
And how many pages of notes do you have?
I don't know. Some people probably take your glasses, I suppose. You got to make sure you've got the right glasses. I always remember a lady I know that forgot her glasses and she had to play bridge in her, what she used to call her driving glasses. and it didn't go that well, I can tell you. So you've got to take the right glass. That's two. You don't need to take a pen to most places, but some people like to take their own pen. I know that Jenny, that I play with, she always likes to have her own pen. So remember that. Oh, probably most importantly, make sure you take a partner with you. That's important, isn't it? That should have been number one on the list, shouldn't it?
We're really reaching now, folks. Can you feel it?
I'm up to four. You said if I got to five, I got a gold medal.
Yep.
Number five. You might be right. 10. How on earth did you get to 10?
You know, I'm going to easily get to 10 because I always go with a backpack and it has everything that I could ever possibly need in it. I'll tell you what the top 10 in this person's list was.
Did they have any of my four?
They had one.
One.
Just one.
Which one?
The
What about their partner?
pen. No, they didn't take that. Just tell me whether you think this is a male or a female going off to a bridge tournament.
Okay.
You need to take a jumper in case it gets cold.
It's a woman.
You need to take some mint,
Some what?
breath mints.
It's definitely a woman.
You need to take some water.
Oh, it's a woman.
Maxigesics in case you get a bridge headache.
I'm an absolutely 100%, without any shadow of a doubt, this is definitely a female bridge player.
Snacks, a notebook for those difficult hands. Now, I don't know whether I agree with that. And here comes yours, a pen.
Yeah. You get a hand record at the end, don't you? Or even if you don't get a hand record, you can probably look at the hands online later.
Now, I know that you were never ever going to agree on this one. This is number nine, and it is cash.
Cash. Is cash in New Zealand anymore?
To buy raffles or pay for an entry fee, apparently. And then what do you think the number 10 would be, Barry?
Number 10. I don't know, a bus ticket home. Case partner says, get out and walk.
A positive attitude.
Couldn't have been any more wrong, could I? It's one out of 10. Oh,
One.
that's a bit grim.
This person here left their system card behind because they didn't have it in their top 10.
I saw that. Am I right? It was a female bridge player, wasn't it?
It was.
I couldn't imagine any of those things a male bridge player would even give a second thought. Mints, snacks, something for a headache, and a jumper to keep. No self-respecting male bridge player would take any of those things.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse.
The court's in session now. Here come the judge. Here come.
Good morning, Judge Julie.
Good morning.
Beautiful day today in the Waikato. No fog today, Barry. Don't know what
Yeah,
it's like out your way.
No
beautiful.
warnings for Ruapehu. I bet it's going to get cold.
It probably is. We've got a couple of questions for Judge Julie today. Which one would you like first, Julie? The face pulling one or the other one?
I think we'll start with the face pulling one.
Okay, right. So this has come from one of Mariana's beginners, but it applies to a lot of people that aren't beginners. And they asked what they should do if they make a bid and their partner starts wriggling in their seat and pulling faces at them.
What should we do when we overhear something from another table? What should we do when our partner takes a long time to make a call? What should we do in lots of situations where we have information that doesn't come from the bidding and play? So the only place we get information from is the bidding and the play, not from anything else. Extraneous sources, we take at our own risk, but if it's our side that's giving us that information, then if we choose something that isn't clear cut, which is 80 plus percent, then we might have the result, we might have it changed. So when partners wriggling around and pulling faces, I get this, I tell my beginners that this is what your partner's showing, and their face is a picture to watch the partner as they look absolutely stunned about what they don't have in their hand. And the other one is people, when they're thinking, do lots of things. So unlike poker, bridge absolutely is being poker faced. You shouldn't be giving away information except by your bidding and your play, and it should be in tempo and nice and even all the way through. That is play as well as bidding, actually. So when your partner's pulling a face and wriggling around, then I would suggest that you ask them at some point not to do that because they make life very difficult for you because you
Yes.
know that they've got a problem. Now, some of the time when partner has a problem, it doesn't matter. If they wriggle around and go, and then they make a bid, we don't really know what their problem was. They've made a bid, they've shown values. We know that they have a problem about something in their hand. It might be an issue for us later on, but at the point that we're doing what we should do, it probably doesn't make a lot of difference from a beginner point of view. If I open one heart and I'm sitting opposite you, Mariana, and you start squirming as you think about what on earth to do, and then you make a bid of one spade, I have to make a rebid, all right? So what I bid next is unlikely to be affected at this stage by what beginners are doing.
What if she pokes her tongue out at you, though?
Yeah, well, I'll poke mine back out at her, okay? No, we don't do that, in all fairness. For beginners, we just don't know. There's a lot to take on board. There's a lot to remember. There's a lot to understand. As they get better, then this becomes more and more of an issue if they are doing it.
Right, yeah.
But it's all unauthorised information, which is Law 16. And if it may affect what the bidding may have been, the director may adjust the board later. And you ask your partner not to do it.
It's quite a feat hiding panic, isn't it?
I can remember once, a long time ago, with teammates, one of the partnership had hesitated for a long time or done something or given away some information, and the director got called and they said, oh, they would like to make this bid. And he said, well, you can't. Your partner has cooked your goose, was what he said.
Yeah, well, I would like to make it clear that directors are not allowed to tell you what you can and can't bid.
Oh,
okay. Now, if you try to bid when you've been barred from the auction because of something your partner, they will tell you that you're trying to make an illegal bid, but they cannot tell you because your partner has wriggled or hesitated or whatever that you cannot bid. You can bid, but what might happen later is the score might be adjusted. All right.
Yep. Thank you very much for that.
The other one is the bonus question, which was Mariana. She was online and she wanted to ask a question after the auction. And it's happened, which you don't really think about, but partner can't really lead face down online. So when does she get to ask her questions?
Okay, well, this is pretty simple because even when we're playing face to face, not all of our partners or ourselves lead face down. It's called the clarification period. So we get to the end of the auction where there's been three consecutive passes and we're sitting there. We're allowed to know what the auction is at this point. If the bidding box or bidding pad should still be face up on the table. So when we're considering our opening lead, we've got the information that we need. And then best practice is we make our opening lead face down. Any questions that we ask, and our partner can ask here, clarification period, if something comes to light where there should have been an alert or there's been misinformation, if your lead has been made face down, it can be returned to your hand. The auction can continue if there has been that, or it may change what your lead is. When you make your lead face down, you cannot pick it up again without the director's permission. You change your mind, you are not allowed to pick the card up. So I'll be really clear about that at the face down opening late.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, now the partner can at that point ask because you can't pick your card up. So any information you get from any questions partner may have don't affect your opening late because you've already made it. If you make your lead face up or online where it is made face up, then your partner can't ask any questions till it's their turn to play. Whenever it's your turn to bid or play, you are entitled to ask questions. Your partner is equally entitled to know the full auction. The bidding pad will still be face up on the table at this point. Bidding box cards normally go away because of it's difficult to put dummy down and have the auction in front of everybody. Like we have spoken bidding, you are entitled to know the full auction before you make a play to that first truck.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
All right. If information comes to light because of what dummies fronted up with or because of partners' questions that something should have been alerted and hasn't been, then you have to get to the end of the hand before anything may happen about that board.
Right. I was going through the steps in my head and I was thinking, when can I ask my question?
You can always ask questions when it's your turn to play or when it's your turn to bid. You cannot ask for a full review of the auction after you played to the first trick. So once you've played to that first trick, you cannot have a full review of the auction anymore You are always entitled to know what the contract does. And if somebody asks, even if they're your opponent, you should tell them what the contract does. And that includes any double or redouble that may be in play.
So when you're playing online, you can click on the option button whenever you like.
Yeah, well, things about online are different, electronic are
Okay.
different, clearly because we're not sitting at a table. All
Yeah.
right. There are things about online and face to face that are slightly different. You can't revoke. You can't make an insufficient bid. There are a
Yeah.
lot of things that are different about being online that are not the same as being face to face at the table. The net result is we can play pretty much normally online and enjoy the game and give access to people that have difficulty through a different medium, which works very well for most things.
It's not always true, Mariana. Judge Julie doesn't always play normally online.
Sometimes I don't play normally offline
Well, I was about to say that, but I was too
The
polite.
pot, isn't this the pot calling the kettle black, or whichever
Well,
way around that particular saying goes,
absolutely.
Mr. Jones?
Yep,
I
Mr.
had tried one of Jenny's
Jones.
beginners, by the way. On Friday, he put two lines, changed it. He put one across the other way to make it a double.
What?
I told him he couldn't do that. I said the auction was over after he'd had two lines. Is
Unintended.
that?
If it's unintended, you could perhaps roll that back to being the double. Sounds pretty much like it was a deliberate pass out and then he changed his mind.
Yeah,
He
yeah, yeah.
said, whenever I have four trumps, I always double. And I said, oh,
Oh, he always doubles.
what?
Why did he put two lines down?
Anyway,
Gosh.
afterwards he thanked me because it made.
And that's not because he told his opponents that he had four trumps, which they didn't know about earlier.
Had four to the ten. I don't know what he thought they were going to
Oh,
do.
yeah, okay.
Thank you, Julie.
Have a good week.
All right, results around the Motu Barrie. What's been going on?
Well, there was a couple of 10A events on, one in the South Island, one in the North.
Yeah.
So I noticed that the South Island one, the Canterbury Regional Pairs, a 10A, won by Jane Lennon and David Taylor. And I couldn't help but notice they scored 71 in one of those sessions. That's a pretty big
Holy
score when you're
moly.
playing in a 10A pairs event. They had 13 tables. It was quite a good field from Leo Hammond and Kat Holmes. A gap of about 5% at the end. 71% will get you home usually.
Go the youth players, Barry. Well done, Leo Hammond, and also Alice Davitsky, posting some pretty incredible scores. Fantastic.
Also, the time-honoured Fullerton Teams was held at the Whanganui Bridge Club. That was won, and you would have probably picked this. You know the name of the winning
Wayne
team?
Burrows,
No?
Jack James.
No?
Ugh.
Think of a team name that you've often commented on.
Where?
You're onto it.
Bloody Nora, look at that.
So he will never let you hear the end of this. It was named the Weir team, and they won by more than a match. They were 23 VPs clear.
Sorry about that, Mikey. I was just thinking about the CD people.
Look, I'm sure they would have been a bit disappointed. They only had 10 teams in the field for a 10A teams event. That was pretty disappointing. They had a good format. They played a round robin. Everybody played everybody. It was a very fair format.
Look who their team members. I haven't seen that name for donkeys. Jerry Palmer.
That Jerry Palmer and Scott Smith were playing together, and the other thing that I noticed was I happened to be looking at the datums for the pairs, and the top pair was Scott Smith and Jerry Palmer.
Wow.
They were well clear of Michael Weir, and Pam Livingstone was second.
How about that? What a great result.
So the Weir team beat the Grant teams. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say it again anyway. If they'd had it online, they'd have had 20, 30, 40 teams in it, but.
Oh,
You
God,
know,
you're gonna get in trouble.
I am going to get in trouble, but face to face, they had 10 teams. Disappointing for a 10A event like that. And the Fullerton, it's quite a prestigious event.
Blair and Liz, they went down to it.
They finished fourth.
So they would get what? 7 April?
No.
How many?
Have another guess.
I don't know.
Who?
Two.
Remember, they were only just above halfway, really. So it went 10, 7, 4, 2, the A points. They usually only go down about a third of the field. They were probably lucky to get two for four.
Oh, I see.
I knew Blair
Okay.
wouldn't have been too unhappy because his main aim was to get more A points than Jack
And
for the week.
Jack. Yep.
And Jack came fifth.
Yep.
So he got none. He would have got a couple for his wins, you know.
Yeah, and they're going to cancel each other out when they come down and play the South Island Pears.
They are indeed.
Funny.
Blair's going down for the South Island Tings. Where are they being held?
They're in Dunedin.
In Dunedin, and Jenny's going, I think, down to Taranaki or something doing dog agility. So Liz and I, seeing as we're both at home, decided we would play the area pairs in Hamilton. I've got something else I was going to say. Liz, she scored 78 or something in one of the BBO tournaments, and she won $5. Five BBO dollars. So there you go. She was very excited about winning $5. She's got to decide where to spend it now.
Well, she could buy a quarter of her monthly plan.
Ifayakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novice. And our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow.
Hello, travelling gin man.
Hi, Barry.
Hello,
how
Ross.
Many
how are you?
People did you annoy this weekend?
Everybody.
Oh, good.
I've looked it up, Ross. 701 Ks from Warkworth to Wellington.
That's a lot of Ks for about 24 sea points. Not the greatest weekend for the gin man and his lovely partner, but there you go. Spot on in the weekend, though. Waitemata had a junior tournament. Alistair Bury and Alec Lewin from Remuera won that. Now, if you remember, they won the Trouty Lytle as well. So they are two from two in the new junior circuit around Auckland.
Nice.
Good start for them. Chelsea Manny and Diane Barton, both from Alexandra, they won the Oamaru Junior. Waitemata Intermediate, good result here. You'll be pleased with this, Barry. East Coast Bays, Sue Drury, Freddie Chan first, Andrew Robertson and Graham Story second, all from East Coast Bays, separated by 0.5 of a percentage point. East Coast Bays, a pair of theirs were second in the junior tournament, so a great weekend for that club. Te Awamutu Intermediate, 15 tables, Steve Hunt and Sue Keating, both from Cambridge, topped that. Oamaru Intermediate, Graham Dale from Balclutha and Bear Corlett from Oamaru. And if you remember, Graham Dale won the Tory graded last month. Marlborough Restricted, I can't give you the top intermediates here, but Laurie Godden, who is intermediate from Nelson, won that with Diane Donnelly from Richmond. They had a 61.58% average. And the one that I was involved in, the Upper Hutt multi-grade, 20 tables.
Can I have a guess? I haven't looked.
Mm-hmm.
Where did my friend Jeffrey come?
Nigel Kearney and Kim Tate, both from Wellington, won it. They had a 71.65% in the morning. And top junior juniors was Carol Day and Carla Lees. Carla was one of Carol's pupils, if you like, or learners in last year's lessons. That was a well-received result. They were locals from Upper Hutt. Steve Denham and Susan Flavin, both from Hutt, won the intermediate and junior, and intermediate with Catherine Bridge from Kairangi and Todd Bearsworth from Victoria. If you remember, they won the Karori Intermediate back in mid-July as well. Todd did anyway. The director there, Anne Ricketts, sidled up to me after the thing. She said, I was walking past someone and they said, it must be so boring being a director at a tournament. And Anne said to me, no, I'm far too busy to be bored on a day of bridge. Just a little strike back from the directors, if you like.
They didn't have a prize for the pair that travelled the furthest, did they?
No. Well, there have been tournaments where that has been given out, but no.
I reckon you'd have bolted in, Ross. I don't think anybody would have been close.
Don't think so. It's worthwhile going. I mean, just from meeting people like Carol Cornelius and Ruth Brooker, who we play with online for the last 12 months, have never met. That was just lovely. You know, that's one of the things that bridge is all about, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
A little update on young Rory McDowell from the Hutt Club. With the blessing of Alistair Studd from New Zealand Bridge, she is allowed to play in the evening until supper time. Then her mother takes her home, passes her over to the father, I suppose, and the mother goes back and plays the rest of the hands. And they have a hand from that family, but firstly from Rory and then from Mum. And that's very flexible. And what else can we do? help our young players. That's great. Yeah.
That's a great story. That's why we pay you the big money, Ross, is for stories like that.
Yeah. Oh, but you have to deduct a whole lot from my salary because I keep getting Upper Hutt Club and Hutt Club mixed up. They were kind enough to give me a few minutes before. And I was just saying that, you know, really, it's really great to be here because in the intermediate section, the Hutt Club has three really good players all in the ranking list. And I sort of let it slip that I thought they were in Upper Hutt Club, but they were in the Hutt. So there was a big, well, not exactly boos, but jeers and laugh. Yeah.
There was an uproar.
Yeah, there was an uproar. Jeffrey Crannon, Elijah Hawkins, and Simon Webber are 3 out of 20, the local masters, the ranking list. Hey, a little hint. I thought it was really good. I always sort of resent having to pay for drinks after tournaments. I think you should at least get one drink free. What do they do in Upper Hutt? They give everybody...
Rusty Nail?
Rusty Nail would have been absolutely perfect. They give everybody a name badge. So they make sure that everybody has their name badge, right? And everybody is identifiable. Then at the end of the play, you cash that name badge in for your one free drink afterwards. I thought that was a good little idea.
Pretty cool.
Not to mention the fact that the barman came round afterwards with the bottles and topped everybody's glass up. So it was pretty damn good.
Don't tell Mariana about this club. She'll be there next time they have a tournament.
Yeah. There'd be a few bridge players that would go just for that, I think. Yeah. Hey, Chris Pronk from down there, who plays with his daughter Genevieve, he says, hey, Ross, has Barry ever given you a date to play in a tournament with you? I said, no, he's still trying to work one out, Chris. Well, we'll let you know.
Did you not tell him about the 17th of April?
No, nothing confirmed yet, I told him.
27/04/27. I thought it was a done date.
Tentatively.
Plenty of time for him to withdraw.
I won't play it with anybody else, Ross. There you go.
Okay, that's pretty well now. Okay, Chris, have you heard that? Done deal. Coming up next week, 6 intermediate tournaments on Invercargill, Havelock North, Nelson, New Plymouth, Paihia, Otaki, junior tournaments, Invercargill, Mount Albert, New Plymouth, Paihia, which is booked out, and Otaki. So a busy weekend next week for the Gin Club members.
Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne, neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week.
That's all we've got time for this week, folks. If you're out and about playing bridge, have an awesome time, and we'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.